All right. Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's had a good afternoon. I'm glad to see you back here this evening. And I appreciate the good day the Lord's given us. That lady in the pink shirt back there, we quit bothering that crowd in the back. We get started. Some of y'all think I'm going to get beat up. She's 32 years. She's used to it now. So, or maybe I'm used to it. I've got numb where she hits me. I don't know. I'm pretty slow. It might take two. All right. Real quickly. Again, good to see you. Do remember our services. Again, Wednesday night, Lord will, we'll be back on studying on prayer. Hope you'll be with us there. And then, of course, next Sunday, Sunday school is 10 o'clock. Preaching will be at 11. Don't forget about revival. Brother Knox will be here 4th, 5th, and 6th of April. I hope you've been praying. Hope you'll be praying. Hope you'll come looking to really see revival. I've been in some good meetings over the years, but I don't know that I've ever been revival. I don't know. Like I said, I felt some things maybe, and it's not about feelings, but our country sure needs a revival. So just pray about revival there. So I was going to show you this. I was gifted this today, and I appreciate the gift. This is the oldest Bible I guess I've ever touched. It's an 1821 King James Bible. Still has all the pages. But you know what? I mean, that's to me, is history there. That book there is just the same as that book, and they're both alive still today, so amen. So if you want to see it, come up afterwards, and we'll let you look at it. I like stuff like that. That's sort of neat to me. I'm looking forward to thumbing through it some and see the difference. It's amazing how letters have changed over the years, too. You'll find things in the old King James versions that are different as far as lettering. That's like my name. My last name's White. From Germany, it was W-Y-K-E. And over the years, it became W-I-K-E. So things do change. So, hey, man, y'all are bored to death, so let's move. Amen. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, please help us tonight. God, we once again want to see you. And, Lord, I just pray, God, Lord, you bless this time together, Lord. And, God, I pray most of all, God, our hearts will be drawn closer to you, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
All right, let's all stand up. Turn to number 10. Number 10. Number 10. Jesus saves. We'll sing all four verses. We'll sing all the way through it. I'm glad he does save. So let's sing it out. Here we go.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
That's one of those songs that hits that spot that just makes me cough. That's a hard one to say. All right, so here we go. On the third verse.
Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
All right, flip over to number 112. 112. Maybe this will be better. And we'll just do the first and the last on this one. It's kind of a long song, so we'll see. First and last verse. So here we go. Let's sing it out.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
On the last one, here we go.
Have you by temptation often conquered been? As a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim his best. In the Holy Spirit he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Amen. All right, you can be seated.
You got those mental problems?
Huh?
You got mental problems?
What's that?
Mental?
Yeah.
Amen. Appreciate the good songs this evening. I think Miss Rhonda's going to sing for us here in just a moment. Just again, much in prayer up. Again, I hope you'll get your bulletin and I hope you pray. Not as we started this past Wednesday night. The Bible says over and over and over to pray without ceasing. Always to pray. You'll find things of that nature all through Scripture about prayer. So I hope you will be praying. Again, there is that prayer closet type of prayer where we get along with God. But I believe we ought to have that communion type of prayer as you go throughout your day, that you just commune with the Lord as you go from place to place. So, again, do pray for our church. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for revival coming up. Remember the lost, of course. As you look around about us, there's a lot of loss. So, do pray for Miss Bonnie D. Hart and their family as they go through this time. Brother Floyd Poplin, as he's recovering. Miss Rose, Brother Melvin, Miss Linda there as well. Brother Derek's got to see another surgeon, so do pray that they find a way to do the surgery they need to do. Brother Bill's daughter, continue to pray with her. Miss Cheryl is taking some chemo also, so do pray for those this evening. So, all right, Miss Rhonda.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended to took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, neither trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree, in the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life, but no grave could e'er restrain Him. Praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
Beautiful, beautiful song, amen. And beautiful in the words themselves, but beautiful in the truth, amen. So appreciate that good song. All right, take your Bibles over to the book of Revelation this evening. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Before you stand, let me tell you a few things, and then we'll stand and read these scriptures. We're going to look at how to kill something tonight. I always need to know how to kill something, but I hope you won't kill this. I had a story told to me, it's been a way back when. It was actually Brother Paul Rendleman told me this story. And ever since then, I think about it every time I ride by there. Brother Paul Rendleman was, of course, a Salisbury firefighter for years and years and years and years. And way back in, the, I don't know, probably 70, 80, somewhere in that neck of the woods, Brother Paul said they had a call over to the VA. And said they had calls over there all the time. Said that especially in the mental ward type parts, that they would catch a mattress on fire or something, and it was just like that about ever, you know, so often they'd have a call over there. And he said they had a call over one night and said it same thing. There was a mattress on fire, so they had to put it out and get all that stuff cleaned up. And they was getting all the hoses back on, getting everybody back on the truck, heading back to the station. And when they get back to the station, they looked around and said, "Where's old so-and-so?" "Well, I know he got on the truck. I saw him get on the truck." So they started looking around for old so-and-so. Could not find old so-and-so. So they go back over to the VA and find old so-and-so tied up naked in a closet. And one of the people in the ward decided they wanted to get out of there. So they wrapped him up in rope and took his firefighting gear, and they found him walking around the city of Salisbury up there and fire. You know, it's easy to spot somebody when they're walking around with fire gear, you know. But it did remind me of this, and this is what he told me. He says, because I had to go over, I don't know if you've ever been over to VA, a lot of sad things over to VA. I know Brother Jerry used to work over there. I've had to go into the mental ward part of it a few times, and that's just an eerie place to me. But I never thought of this until Brother Paul said this. He says, always remember, when you're over there, everybody you're around has been taught by our government how to kill people. I thought, you know, I never really thought about that. Thank you for reminding me that. But we're going to look tonight about something I hope you don't want to kill. And that's the church. I want to show you tonight. I think if we know how to, maybe we won't. So tonight we're going to look at about four or five things here this evening about how not to kill a church. There's a lot of churches dead today. There's a lot of churches that has a name, and that's about all that's there anymore is a name. I was reading some things, getting ready for this evening. Said all churches have three stages. There's will be a church that's Holy Spirit filled and on fire. Then they'll become nothing but a mechanism because they're just going through the motions, and then they'll become dead. Every church will run that cycle, this guy was saying. Now, I don't know if that's true. I've seen that a lot of times. You'll see a church that really gets on fire for God, and then something changes gears, and they go into a place of just going through the motion, and before you know it, there'll be a dead church. A lot of dead churches today. A lot of sad things. A lot of preachers that used to be right that's wrong. A lot of churches that used to be right that's wrong. So tonight I want to look again, and when you see these things, you ought to, you know, they put those, that skull and crossbones on stuff that you buy to tell you that that stuff is poison. It will hurt you. It will kill you. These are some things tonight that you ought to literally put a skull and crossbones in. And when you see these things, you ought to say something. You ought to rise up and do something. So let's stand together this evening real quickly. We'll read a few verses tonight. I was going to go through all seven churches, but we won't do that this evening. It's interesting to watch the progression of the church here in these seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works. That right there. If you go back and you look at them other churches, same thing. God says, I know. I see beyond the outside, I see beyond all the fluff and all that mess. He says, I know the heart of your church. I know where you're at and what you're doing. I know thy works. Notice next that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Isn't that interesting? In name, it looks like something that's alive. But in action, it's dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which hath not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our Father, we ask you once again to help us tonight. God, help us tonight to be aware. Help us tonight, God, to get involved to the place, Lord. We love our church, Lord. We don't want to see our church be just a name and dead. God, I just ask you, Lord, to strengthen us this evening, Lord. And we're going to thank you and praise you for all you do. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Here we have this church that the Bible tells us about here in Revelation chapter 3 and here at Sardis. And it tells us again, he says, I know thy works. And tonight, I wonder tonight if God would show us, Gospelite Baptist Church, what God would have to say about us. Now again, the church isn't the building. The church isn't the stuff inside of. The church are you and I. The born again believers that make up this part of the body that God has placed here on the side of the road in Rowan County. Not just to sit here and be a beacon into the sky with a steeple on top of it, but to be a light and salt to our area. Our church should make a difference. So we find here again, he says about this church, he says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Take your Bibles over to the book of Judges real quickly. Judges chapter 16. I believe this is an example of what we're trying to get across to us this evening about this church. Here in Judges chapter 16, we have the story of Samson. Great man, strong man, mighty man, but didn't follow right after God. He got off track. He got his mind on different things. He got his eyes on different things. And because of that, it brought him down from a place that he could have had to a place where he ended up in the situation we know that he was in, his eyes plucked out and his strength taken away. But one of the saddest parts about Samson is a statement I believe is given to here in Judges chapter 16. Look with me in verse number 20. Here, Samson playing around with his enemy. Verse 20 says, Delilah said, she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Did you hear what happened? Samson, like many times before, thought he was so strong and so mighty and so big that when the enemy would come, he said, I'm just going to go out and shake myself. And the enemy will be gone. But this time he goes out with that same mentality, that same thought process. And the Bible says that he did not realize that God had departed. And I wonder sometimes about churches, and I've been in some churches where I was pretty sure God was nowhere around that church. I'm thankful. I really am. That I believe with all my heart God wants to work at Gospel Light Baptist Church. I believe God still is working at Gospel Light Baptist Church. We're not what we need to be. We ought to be busier than ever. But listen, God still is moving, I believe, in our church. But if we're not careful, we'll be just like this church here in Revelation chapter 3. We'll have a name that we're alive, but we'll be dead. Here's Samson again. He came running out and thought he was going to be that mighty man and really realize that God was nowhere around. I wonder this evening in our own personal lives if we'd even recognize when God was not close to us. Now let me tell you this. I know God says He'll never leave us. That's God. But God didn't say that you'll never leave Him. God's exactly where God said He would be. If you or I walk away, guess what? God ain't going to follow with you. You'll have to come back to that same place where you left off from God, and you'll have to get back in line with God right there. There are no shortcuts. There are no loop arounds. God says, I'll be there and I'll lead you. I'll guide you. But when you decide to take a step away, you're in trouble. And here Samson is that way. He stepped off. And it was little things. And it's just amazing, again, a pattern. Some of you ladies sew, you have a pattern. Some of you fellas maybe that do carpentry type work, you'll have a pattern. And I was told a long time ago, you always use the pattern. You don't use the same piece of wood that you just cut. You always keep that same piece. Because if you don't, you'll get a little bit off each time. It's not big changes, but it just gets a little bit and a little bit, and a little bit, and before you know it, you're going to be way off the mark of where you ought to be. So tonight, I want to give you about four things this evening, I believe, that will kill Gospel Light Baptist Church. I don't want to see our church die. I don't want to see any church die. I want to see the church rise up. I want to see God's people get on fire for God and see God do a great work. Oh, I know, preacher. He ain't going to do that. Why? Your God might not, but my God can. So what would it be? Again, I'm not giving us this for us to kill our church. I hope tonight these are things that when we see this happening, and it's not necessarily your neighbor, when we see these things happening in our lives, we need to realize we're not just affecting us. It affects our whole church. So let's think about some of these things tonight. The very first, we'll look over in the book of Joshua. Uno number one, the thing that will kill Gospel Light Baptist Church, Joshua chapter 7. Most of you probably don't know what this one is. You want to kill your church? I hope you don't. This one thing right here will kill it. That's sin. Sin will kill Gospel Light Baptist Church. Now, I know this, Stephen. I'm not making excuses for sin, but we're all sinners. We all have to deal with this old body every day. But we constantly live in sin, ashamed of our sin, and we're comfortable around sin. That will hurt you, hurt your family, and hurt the church. Sin, what sin? Any sin. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoils the vine. It's those little things that's done in secret. It's those little things that nobody else knows about but you and God. Here, Joshua, we know the story here about the nation of Israel. Look here in verse number 7, or chapter 7, verse number 1. He says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men, of Ai, and the men of Ammonite of the about 36 men, for they chased from them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Who would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan? Verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon the face? Israel hath sinned. Notice it was not just Achan that sinned. God said, Israel has sinned. See, when we are part of the body of Christ, when one part does something, it affects all the parts of the body. And we know this even in the story here about Achan. We know that he and his family took of those forbidden things there when they were in Jericho, and they took of the clothes, and they took of the garments and the silvers and gold, and they took and hid it under the ground in their tents. Oh, they thought they had everything hid up. They thought everything was good. But here, their sin caused some men to give their lives, all because they sinned. And here Israel goes up, the great army of God goes up against a little old group from Ai. And they turn their backs and run. Why? Sin. Tonight, one of the greatest things that will kill our church was if we allow sin to enter in our doors, when we allow sin to take over our homes, again, it's not going to be some big sin. Probably it's going to be some little things that happen. And we just keep playing with it, and we keep playing with it. And we say, that's not a big deal, and that's not a big deal, and let's just let that go. Oh, no. It's causing a sickness. It's causing death. And sin will, I promise you, it has before, it will now, and it'll do it again until the Lord comes back. If we allow sin to come forth, that's the reason, you know, I've talked to people, well, I don't like people telling me this is wrong and that's wrong. Well, guess what? It ain't somebody telling you this is wrong and that's wrong. God says it's wrong. God says stay away from it. God made that statement. And friend, tonight we need to let God examine us on a daily business. Amen. That God, as the psalmist says, search me, O Lord. Why? Because we don't want sin in our camp. Why? Because sin brings forth death. And sin will kill a good church. Seen it happen many times. Seen it from the pulpit. Seen it from the pew. Sin will kill a church. So the very first thing this evening that will kill a church, again, Sardis had a name that was alive, but was dead. Oh, we can have a name that we're the church of the living God. And God's still the living God. But just because He's a living God don't mean we're alive. I want to see a live church. Not a dead church. So the very first thing that will kill a church is sin. Let's look at another one. Look over in Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29. Let me say this. Heard Brother Matlock say this years ago. I don't figure he was the very first one that ever said it, but that's the one I remember saying it. I just told you sin kills churches. And yeah, we need to have our eyes out. We need to make sure we keep our ears open. But this isn't to us out here being the sin police. Brother Matlock always said, when you got one finger pointing out, you got three pointing back. You better take a good look at your life. Look in your closets and find out if you're the one this season. Hey, they took that group of Israel and broke them out in tribes and then by families and marched them around until God says, that's the one. Hey, y'all want to do that tonight? Who wants to go first? Sin will kill the church. Look in Proverbs chapter 29 this evening. Here's the second thing that will kill the church. Verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You want to know how I'll kill a church? Lose your vision. Tonight, I'm afraid so many churches that used to be on fire for God, that had a vision. They wanted to take the gospel around the world. They wanted to reach their community. They had a vision of what the church was really about. But over time, they got like me and had to get some glasses because they couldn't see anymore. They lost their vision. They got too tied up in themselves, too tied up in what they were doing. Friend, our vision shouldn't be inside. Our vision always ought to be outward because the church should be serving our community. Our church should be reaching out into the highways and hedges. And God says where there's no vision, there'll be death. Tonight, let me ask you a question. What's the vision you have in your life to serve God? See, if you don't have a vision, the church won't have a vision. Why? Because the church is made of you. Tonight, do you have a vision? What do you see? What do you want to see God do in your life? What do you want to see God do through you and through our church? We need a vision to do something for God. If we're not, you know what we'll be? Asleep. And many a church today are asleep. The world we know is falling apart. The world around us is dying, going to hell. And the church has no vision to reach. There's stuff to be done. There's doors that can be opened. But it takes somebody with a vision somebody with a want to go out into those highways and hedges and compel somebody to come. Again, what's our vision tonight? Tonight, if you had to, if you were asked tonight, what's the vision of Gospel Light Baptist Church? What would you say? Think this for a moment. What would you say? Well, we're going to reach the lost. Great, that is a great vision, but how are we going to do it? What's your vision of seeing it get done? And then I always like these churches, and we've got had it happen here a few times. Somehow get a vision. I'm not talking about eating bad pizza at night and getting some crazy dream. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeking God and searching God and God laying a burden upon their heart. And I've seen people get a vision and a passion to see God do something. Instead of the church getting behind that person and encouraging that person and doing all they could to get that person what they needed to get out and do what they desired to do, I've seen churches take their hands and smother it out. Take the water and wash it away. See, the Bible says a church without a vision is a dead church. Sin will kill a church. Vision, no vision will kill a church. Look over in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 this evening. The third thing that'll kill a church. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, look in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know, you would think if you really read what that just said that we care more about the church. We've been purchased by his blood. This isn't just some dollar store piece of junk that you bought. This is God's church. Verse 29, notice, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The third thing, sin will kill a church. No vision will kill a church. The third thing this evening will kill a church is false teaching. It's the reason we have to be very careful who we allow to stand before our church people. False teaching, as it warns here. They're wolves. They want to devour. They want to kill. The wrong teachers. Who do you want teaching your children? Who do you want teaching them about the Lord? We want somebody that we know, that we know, that we know, that loves God. I've seen churches that bring somebody in, they've been there two or three times, make them a teacher. You don't know what that person's going to be teaching. We ought to care more about our people, that we want to make sure that person is going to teach right. My first church I pastored, me and my wife spent a Saturday up there going through every room, throwing away false Bibles. I didn't care who owned them. They went in the dumpster. Oh, I had some mad hens when Sunday rolled around. But see, that was going to kill that church. Wrong teachers, wrong preachers. Oh, I've seen many a church die because they got the wrong man behind the pulpit. Oh, but he's a good speaker, or he's this, or boy, he's charismatic, but he's not preaching the right book, and he's not preaching the right doctrine. Hey, friend, you better watch out. The wrong preacher will kill Gospel Light Baptist Church. Yes, the wrong teacher, the wrong preacher. Watch this one. The wrong songs. Yes, I thank God that we have somebody, not only just him, but other people in our church that take the singing very, very seriously. If you're not careful, you get that praise and worship stuff starting to drift in. And before you know it, you done changed your song books and you done brought in modernistic ways and things of that nature. And you'll kill that church. I know that's not popular. But I've seen many a church start down that road. Oh, there's some good songs out. Just because they're wrote today don't mean they're not good songs. But we don't need a rock band and disco lights up here to praise God. Now, you'll praise your flesh, I bet. But the wrong teaching and the wrong preaching and the wrong singing will kill our church. The wrong book. I like that new King James Bible. Why? King James Bible not good enough? Well, I like that modern version. Why? They left out verses. Does that bother you? They've changed words. Does that not bother you? Oh, I've seen many of men give up their Bible for popularity. They wanted to grow their church and they knew they couldn't grow it if they stood with the King James Bible. So they went to some modernistic version. And I promise you this. When you allow one perversion, hang on, because there's many more perversions coming. Because if you won't stand for one thing, you'll not stand for anything else. You want to kill the church? Let sin in. You want to kill the church? Have no vision. You want to kill the church? Bring in false teaching. And last of all, this evening, you want to kill the church? Let's go back over Revelations. Revelations chapter 2. Here's the church of Ephesus. Look at verse number 4. Revelations 2, 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." It amazes me how we, it's not just our church, how, let me back up. We used to raise chickens with Purdue, thousands of chickens. My wife loved it. It was her favorite thing to go wash drinkers in this chicken house. She loved it. Chicken poop everywhere. Nothing like it. Stunk. But I noticed something, that chickens were a lot like Christians. If a bunch of chickens started pecking on one chicken and got them bleeding, every one of them birds will run that one little bird to the ground until it kills it. You know what I've seen in Christians? One little Christian have a little bit of problem. All the brethren come by and start pecking on him till they kill him. That's not what God told you and I to do. God told us to bear one another's burdens. Sin will kill our church. No vision will kill our church. False teachings will kill our church. And last of all, no love. Now listen, love is not compromise. God is love. But you and I ought to have a love like God. There's a lot of things I hate. I've preached it before. There's a lot of things that God hates. But God tells us that we ought to love. Why? Because we've been loved. It's amazing that we've lost love for the brethren. You know, I love families. I do. I was thinking about it the other day. We was riding around out the house and doing things, and my mind began, and there's still some families that do this, but this is getting very rare. You know, on Sundays, when I was a little boy, on Sundays, I guarantee you I was at one of my grandparents every Sunday. It's what we did as a family. We'd all gather in at Grandpa's and eat lunch and just have a good time in the afternoon fellowshipping or doing something. Now families, I met a guy this week for lunch at Cracker Barrel. I wish I took a picture of this. There was three people and a child sitting outside around the checkerboard in the rocking chairs waiting to go in. All three adults had their cell phones out, and that little child was sitting there playing with checkers by itself. That's what's wrong with our families today. There's no love in our families for one another. But how much tonight should you and I love our church family? It shouldn't be an inconvenience. It shouldn't be a burden. We ought to want to help our brothers and our sisters. And when we don't love the brethren, we'll have a dead church before you know it. Love for the sinner. Oh, I know Brother Rick, Miss Judy's been there. We've been there. They don't want to go in these churches, and they don't want nobody in their church but the ones that they got. I think I've told this story before. I got a good friend. I hadn't seen him in years, though. I worked with him for a long time up at Freightliner. He was this guy. He had hands. I thought Brother David had big hands. This guy could make two of Brother David's hands. This dude had, he was an electrician. He laid block. He run equipment. This guy done everything. He was just a big hand. But one of the best drummers, they say, that's ever been out of this area of the country. He played with some big bands back in the 60s and 70s. They was on tour somewhere, and he talked to one of his buddies, hey, let's go to church this Sunday morning. He said, all we had was jeans and a t-shirt. Said, yeah, we had, our hair was longer and didn't look probably the best. So we went in and sat down, and it wasn't long. There was a man come and tapped on my shoulder, says, I'm sorry, but we don't allow your kind here. If that ever happens here, I'll go out with them. Y'all can just have this. Because sinners are welcome here. Don't ever forget you were a sinner. When we lose our love for the brethren, when we lose our love for sinners, this will be a dead church. Then last of all, this season, when you lose love for God, God loves you. Do you love God? Oh, yeah, I love God. God told Peter, Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, go feed my sheep. If you love him, you'll be doing something. Three times, Peter was asked that same question. Three times God told him pretty much the same thing. If you love me, go feed my lambs. Tonight, when our church loses love for God, we'll be a dead church. I don't want to be a dead church. I don't want to see our church die. So we need to put out some ears and look around us that when sin comes in my life, that I don't want to destroy our church. When I lose vision for what God would have us to do, I don't want to kill our church. When I think we want to start a new thing and take God out of it, I ought to think, hey, I'm going to kill my church. When I don't have the love that I should have for my brethren or the sinner or for God, I'll realize I'm killing our church if we're not careful. That cycle will go around, and before you know it, instead of being a church that was alive, we'll be a church that had a name that it was alive, but is dead. Serious. I don't want to see our church die. I don't want to see any church die. I want to see the opposite. I'll say this and I'll quit, and I definitely ain't going to mention names. It was 3, 4, 5 years, probably longer than that now. A few of us wanted to see if we could do an outreach for our county. And there's no way that Gospel Light Baptist Church in itself could have reached the county the way that needed to be reached. So we reached out to like-minded churches to see if we could come together and reach our community. You want to know how that worked? It didn't. I pretty much got Christian cursed by a preacher in the middle of Walmart about what we were going to do because the literature that we were going to use wouldn't have his name on it. She stood there and bawled because I just stood there and took it. I let him chew me out. Preacher, that really happened? Oh, yeah. That's not the way the body's supposed to work. And that's the reason we're not very effective in our community. Because if the churches can't get along, see? We ought to pray that God would bring that back together. That God would unite like-minded people. I told him, I said, look, man, I'm not here to build your church. I'm not here to build my church. We just want to get the gospel out. I basically left him saying, you can carry whatever tracts you want to. I could care less. Again, never happened. Sad, isn't it? But that's what kills churches. Let's stand together tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this evening. Let me ask you something. Miss Rhonda comes, Brother Russell comes. Let me ask you something. Do you love your church? You want to see your church grow? You want to see your church do something for God? I don't think anybody in here would raise your hand and say, preacher, I want to try to kill the church. Nobody wants to do that intentionally. But those things there will kill our church. What's the vision of our church tonight? Miss Rhonda begins to play this evening. If you need to slip around this altar, the Lord says, come. You're one teacher, you're one preacher, you're one song away from false teaching coming into your church. Had an old preacher tell me this a long time ago. He says that I could let one preacher in 5 minutes destroy everything that I've done in 15 years. Why? Because of false teaching. They had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. God don't come back in another 100 years. I sure hope Gospel Light Baptist Church is still here fighting a good fight. I've always said that the success of a preacher's ministry is not why he's there, but after he's gone. Russell, if you will, sing one verse tonight as folks are finishing praying. If you need to come, though, you come.
Have thine own way, Lord.
That'll be our desire tonight.
Have thine own way.
This message tonight isn't to hurt us, it's to help us.
Thou art the
cause. We get those thoughts. Something that we know.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me.
What are you listening to? What
are you watching? After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Amen. You know, I hope when the Lord comes back, he finds us out on the firing line. Working, serving, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how it's going to start? Everybody doing their part. So don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Just let God look at you and you look back. And just do something for God. That's all it's about. So, amen. Do you remember all the different prayer requests? Do you remember our church services? Hope you'll be back. Do pray for Brother Knox. I don't know when the funeral was for his mom. I know that's going to be tough on that church. Death's tough on anybody, but just want to lift him up. He's a great preacher friend, so I want to lift him up. So, you want to see this Bible, 1821, right, brothers? I didn't forget, 21. Come up here and I'll let you look at it. You can't have it because he gave it to me. But if you want to see it, I think it's very interesting. So, I wonder who held that Bible. How many years do you say it's been? 201 years that Bible's been floating around. I wonder what it's seen. I wonder what it's heard. I wonder who read it. Wouldn't it be sad if nobody read it? That's possible. I don't think so. People back in 1800 probably read their Bibles. They didn't have Facebook or Twitter or Tweeter or cable or cell phones. And if I can find some verses to back it up, I'll preach on how God's going. You know, your phones, your computers, they're pretty interesting things. Just because you think you erase things, when you do something on the web, it's never erased. It's always there. And God's going to pull up that record one day and say, look at all that stuff you did on your cell phone. Now let's look at how many times you read your Bible. Wouldn't that be just a thought? Just a thought. I'm guilty too. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, please help us tonight. God, as we leave this place, God, give safety as we travel home. God, help us just to fall back in love with you. God, I know you've never stopped loving us, but God, help us to strengthen the love that we should have for you. And God, the love for our brethren, the love for the church. God, just help us to rise up in these days. When everybody else is looking down, help us to look up. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for all you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good evening.